Of the book of Mark, Mark chapter 4, and I want to tell you that you are extremely blessed and fortunate to be here tonight, the first night of this series. This series, this study that we're going to go into beginning tonight, is a study that'll just flat change your life. It will change and clarify how God's Word works, and how we can receive from God, we can receive from His Word, and it will clarify why we don't receive from God. So many people have questions as to why they pray and things don't happen. Well, Jesus taught us, this is, in my opinion, the best teaching on why people receive and don't receive things from the Lord. And Jesus taught it, and I tell you what, there is no better teacher than Him, is there? I'm telling you, He went into some things here, and once we pull these things out and see what He went into, it's just going to change you and change the way you maybe even pray and approach the Word and such, and you'll become more clear, and you'll become more intentional and defined, and you'll be able to receive all the things that that belong to you, that you should receive, that God wants you to have, but you haven't always been able to receive. Now, just before we jump into this, let me clarify this, that Sunday mornings are going to be a time that we're proclaiming the gospel, we're proclaiming topical issues and such, but on Wednesday nights, we want to jump right into this book and get in more in-depth studies. You know, Jesus would do that. In fact, we're going to watch Him do it in just a minute. Jesus would teach the big crowd in such a way that it would relate with stories and such, but then He would take His disciples aside and He would teach them more of the mysteries, wouldn't He? And I want to show this to you tonight, but we're actually walking out exactly what Jesus is talking about, because here on Wednesday nights, we want to jump in and find out some things, get some insights to this Word. So let's begin, because this is the first time that we're starting this, let's read a little extra scripture beginning with verse 1 of Mark chapter 4. It says, "And again He, Jesus, began to teach by the sea, and a great multitude was gathered to Him, so that He got into a boat and sat in it on the sea. And the whole multitude was on the land facing the sea." Now let me tell you just quickly the reason He did that. The reason Jesus would sit in a boat sometimes and push out a little away from the land is two reasons. Number one, so many people were trying to touch Him to be healed that He couldn't get His teaching finished sometimes. And He wanted to get these points across because it was the Word that brought faith to the people that caused them or gave them the ability to believe God and receive things. And so He knew that He needed to get the Word across to them first. And so Jesus would always come in, almost always, He would teach first. People think, you know, He just did whatever. No, He would come in and He would teach the Word, and then the Word that He taught, if people believed it, they could receive from Him whatever they needed. Well, another reason that He would push out a little from the land is because water is a natural amplifier. And so if you stand on one side of a swimming pool from somebody else and you begin to talk, that water will amplify your voice all over. And so Jesus knew this, and He could reach more people with His voice if He'd push out a little from the sea. Well, it says He taught them, and verse 3 says, "He said, 'Listen, behold, a sower went out to sow. And it happened as he sowed that some seed fell by the wayside, and the birds of the air came and devoured it. Some fell among stony ground, where it did not have much earth. And immediately it sprang up, because it had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, it was scorched, and because it had no root, it withered away. And some seed fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no crop. But other seed fell on good ground and yielded a crop that sprang up and increased and produced, some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100. And He said to them, 'He who has ears to hear, let him hear.'" What a funny statement. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. Can you imagine what they're thinking out there? Well, everybody has ears. But that's not what He said, was it? It said, "He who has ears to hear." We all have flaps on the side of our head, but not everybody can hear God. Well, let me rephrase that. Everybody can hear God, but not everybody does. Not everybody pays attention. Jesus said, anybody that's listening, listen to what I'm saying here. Well, He goes on in verse 10, it goes on to say, "But when He was alone, those around Him with the 12 asked Him about the parable. He said to them, 'To you it has been given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God, but to those who are outside, all things come in parables or stories, so that seeing they may see and not perceive, and hearing they may hear and not understand, lest they should turn and their sins be forgiven them. Jesus said, there are going to be people that hear what I'm saying, but they won't see it. I mean, they hear it, but they won't understand. They see it, but they don't perceive and understand it. There are a lot of people like that. There are a lot of people like that. A lot of people hear the Word of God, but they don't get it. They don't get it. And Jesus said, it has to do with the heart. It has to do with the heart. Now, verse 13 is where we really want to pick up. Because in verse 13, Jesus begins to explain the parable of the sower and the depth and the insights to it to his disciples and the few around him. And so this is where we want to pick up, because this is where Jesus gets into teaching it to disciples. And that's what Wednesday night is for, is that we get in and study this and understand things that are more in-depth than just a story. Now notice here. And Jesus said to them, verse 13, do you not understand this parable? How then will you understand all the parables? The sower sows the word. And these are the ones by the wayside where the word is sown. And when they hear, Satan comes immediately to take away the word that was sown in their heart. Now, if you have a pen or a pencil, I want you to mark a few things in here. You just have to trust me that these are going to be important items. I want you to do two things. I want you to underline when you see the word, word. Because this parable is about the Word of God, the Bible, the Scriptures, God's Word. Every time you see W-O-R-D, underline that. And then I want you to circle the word hear, H-E-A-R, hear. So notice again, verse 15, these are the ones, or verse 14, the sower sows the word. Underline that. See, that's the subject. Somebody said, what is this parable about? It's about the Word of God. That's what it's about. The sower sowing the word. Now notice verse 15. These are the ones by the wayside where the word is sown. When they hear, Satan comes immediately and takes away the word. You see, that's what we're talking about. The word that was sown in their hearts. These likewise, verse 16, are the ones sown on stony ground, who when they hear, the word. So circle here and underline word. Immediately receive it, the word, with gladness, and they have no root in themselves, and so endure only for a time. Afterward, when tribulation or persecution arises for the word's sake, underline word, immediately they stumble. Now these are the ones sown among thorns. They are the ones who hear, circle that, the word, underline that, and the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, and the desires for other things entering in choke the word, underline that, and it becomes unfruitful. Verse 20, but these are the ones sown on good ground, those who hear, circle that, the word, underline that, accept it, and bear fruit, some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100. Now let's just make some observations here. First of all, Jesus begins to explain this parable, and he says this. He says, the sower sows the word. And he says, and these are the ones that heard the word. And these are other ones who heard the word. And these are other ones who heard the word. And then these are some who heard the word. So everybody that he's talking about here heard the word, didn't they? Okay? And everybody received the word one specific way. They weren't reading it with their eyes. They weren't just, you know, receiving it with some mental telepathy or some other kind of way. They weren't, you know, just feeling the word. It was all coming in through the ears. In this specific parable, Jesus is talking about people who heard the word. Heard the word. The whole parable is about the same thing. It's about four different types of people, or four different types of ground where people heard the word of God. Three out of the four didn't receive any fruit from it. Three out of the four received zero. In other words, zero prayers based on what they received from the Word of God came to pass. Zero. No fruit. None. Absolutely none. One, the very last piece of ground, the good ground, had three different levels, he said, which represents many different levels, obviously, where they received 30-fold, 60-fold, and 100-fold. Well, obviously, since some received 100, it is possible to receive 100-fold or 100% of the fruit from the Word of God that comes into your ears and into your heart. Right? Because he said right there, some 30, some 60, and some 100. So Jesus said it is possible that some people can receive the Word of God and get 100-fold or 100%, 100 times. 100, in other words, complete fulfillment of what God's Word promised. Whew. I don't know about you, that's what I'm after. Isn't that what you're after?
Yes.
Now, the reason Jesus is teaching this parable is because he's trying to teach us how to be the good ground. He's not teaching us to be the wayside. He's not teaching us to be the thorny ground or the stony ground. He's teaching us how to learn to receive the Word of God properly and be able to protect it and let it grow up so that the Word of God can bear fruit in our lives. Isn't that right? That's the purpose of the passage. That's what he's doing. Now, I want to go back to verse 13 because I think this is very important. Jesus very intentionally chooses all of his words. You need to know that about him. And when he says something, every single word counts. He doesn't just say things like when Jesus says, "Most assuredly I say to you." Well, why would he say that? He's saying what I'm about to say is more sure, is as sure as it ever could get. Why does he say that? Because you're not going to believe it. It's going to be too good to be true. It's going to seem to you like that's too good. It's going to seem like, well, you know, I know that really doesn't always happen. So that's why Jesus will preface by saying, "Most assuredly." Or sometimes he'll say, "I tell you the truth," as if he ever lied. Why does he say that? Because he knows you. He knows me. Now notice here in verse 13 how he prefaces this explanation. He says, "Do you not understand this parable? How then will you understand all the parables?" Well, that's something right there, isn't it? What is he trying to say? He said, "Do you not understand this parable? How then will you understand all the parables?" Well, obviously, what Jesus is saying is, this parable is a key, cornerstone, pivotal insight to all of the other teachings that he gives. This is a crucial hub. He is explaining to us a process that if you miss this process, you will miss and misunderstand and misinterpret all of the other parables. He said, "This is the grandpa right here. Do you not understand this parable? Well, then how will you understand all the parables?" See that? So see, aren't you glad we're studying the big one right now? This is Big Daddy right here. All right, we're going after it. All right, now let's get into this a little bit. He starts off by saying this, "The sower sows the word." The sower sows the word. Now somebody said, "Well, who's the sower?" Well, the sower originally is God because it's God's word. Right? So God's word came from him. You remember that Isaiah 55 verse 11 says, God said, "So shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please and prosper in the thing for which I sent it." So originally, God sent his word. So he's the original sower. But, you know, there are other sowers. I'm a sower. I take God's word and what he's given to me, and I turn around and I sow it in other people's lives and hearts. I throw that seed out there to see if I can get it planted on good ground. I do it all the time. And there are many, many sowers out there. Some are wise sowers and some are not so wise sowers. But it has so much, Jesus is teaching here, it has much more to do with the ground than it does the sower. When God's word comes out, it's the way that it's received. That's the biggest issue, and that's what Jesus is teaching us here. You've got to receive it right. You have to hear it correctly. It's not just sitting in church while somebody is preaching a message and you think that that word is going to do you some good. It's not. Jesus said you have to very intentionally receive that word and direct it to the right place and cover it and protect it until it can grow up and bear fruit, and then you can eat the fruit. But you can't just let it come in one ear and out the other. See? How many of you, you've been to church, you came in, and you heard the message and everything, you went after church on Sunday, you got some lunch and everything, and somebody says, what was the message about today? And, I believe he talked about the Bible. I've talked about God. Yeah, God. Yeah, the Bible. You have no idea. You can't remember. And especially if they wait a week and ask you, oh, what was that about? Well, you know, we're all like that to some extent. Sometimes somebody will say, what did you teach on last week? Oh, man, I don't, what was that? Well, that's not always because we weren't paying attention. But it is true that we can, if we're not careful, get into a rut and a groove of coming and hearing God's word and not making sure that it was planted in our heart and not hanging on to it until it bears fruit. Mm-hmm. What happens is, once you design or once you develop and cut that groove of halfway paying attention, that's you. That's who you are. And let me tell you something. Jesus said, you're not going to get any fruit out of it. It's by the grace of God that you get anything because you didn't receive it correctly. See, I learned this years and years ago. It's one of the first things that the Lord taught me is how to receive the word. How to receive the word. Now notice, the sower sows the word. And these are the ones by the wayside where the word is sown. Now notice this. Mm-mm-mm. When they hear, Satan comes. Now notice that. When they hear, Satan comes. Listen to that. Listen to what Jesus said. You know, a lot of people don't understand this. When they hear, Satan comes. When does Satan come? When they hear. When they hear. Have you ever had a tough Sunday morning? Huh? Has anybody ever gotten into an argument on the way home from church? You know, you just got out of a good service, just got out of something, you know, you felt the presence of the Lord, you get in the car and you're on your way home and bam, what's going on? How about on the way to church? That ever happen? That ever happen to you? Now notice this. Notice this. Jesus didn't even mention somebody here that didn't hear the word. What does that mean? If you don't hear God's word, you don't even have a chance. You're not even included in the parable. You don't even have a shot at getting any fruit out if you don't hear the word. One of Satan's best tactics and strategies is to get you not to show up to hear the word. Why? Well, that's easy. He doesn't even have to steal it from you. You didn't even get any, right? Mm-hmm. He make you busy, won't he? How many of you know there are always more things to do than time? Isn't that right? Always. Always. Always, always, always. You know, you never write a checklist and just get it all done. Say, look at that. I got 3-4 hours here just to waste. I can just take a nap or go take a walk in the park. Mm-hmm. Never. Never. Always more time. And especially when there's an opportunity to hear the word, because Satan knows that if he can get you so busy and if he can get you so focused, and if he can get you to be thinking about other things, you say, oh, man, I wanted to go to church tonight, and you start making excuses. I wanted to get there, but, you know, I'm just not going to be able to get there. Well, you're easy. You're easy for him. He can control you, manipulate you, because you're not hearing the word and receiving faith to be able to win and conquer him. He knows that. You're an easy candidate. And you see these people that they'll come to church, and they won't come to church, and they'll come, and then they won't come, and say, you know what, I'm going to come, but you know, I got my kid's softball game, then I got my daughter's a soccer game, and then, oh, we're going out of town, and you know what, sometimes you do that. Sometimes, you know, you go out of town, things happen. But, you know, some people, you know, they show up every 2 or 3 months, and it's like, hey, we couldn't find anything else to do, so we came to church. Well, see, Jesus didn't even mention those people in this parable because you don't even have a shot at receiving the good things of God. Not even mentioned. Well, this first group is mentioned in verse 15. These are the ones by the wayside where the word is sown. And when they hear, Satan comes. When does Satan come? When they hear. You just need to know that. Jesus is teaching us something right here, isn't he? When you hear the word of God, Satan comes. You know, some people don't believe that. Jesus is trying to tell you something right here. When you hear God's word, Satan comes. And he doesn't come to ask you, hey, wasn't that good? Man, didn't you enjoy that? No, he comes for a specific reason. Now, let me show you how fast Jesus said he comes. When they hear, Satan comes tomorrow.
Immediately.
Huh? When they hear, Satan comes as soon as he gets time. Because he's got a big checklist too. Huh? Huh? What'd it say? You know what that, you know when immediately was? It already passed. Right? Immediately. Immediately. Why? Why would he drop all the other important things he's doing? Of course, we know when it says Satan there that he's not talking about the devil himself to everybody, every single person, because Satan's only one person. He can only be at one place at one time. But when he says Satan, you know, Jesus in other places referred to Satan, and he also meant the demons and such. When Jesus cast out a demon, they said, you cast out a demon by the power of Satan. And he said, if Satan cast out Satan, how could his kingdom stand? See, so Jesus called demons Satan. You know when he's talking about Satan, he's also talking about the kingdom of darkness. Every demon in that kingdom. Well, why would this be so important that when you heard the word, they dropped everything they were doing and came over to you? Boy, that'll tell you something about this right now, huh? What does that tell you? That tells you, in Satan's opinion, this is top priority. Isn't that right? This is number one priority to him. When they hear, Satan comes immediately. No matter what else he's doing, he's right on it. Why? Because he obviously knows that if he doesn't stop the word right there, it'll grow up. And if it grows up, he's got a problem. Wouldn't it be easier if you planted a seed of an oak tree to take care of that seed right then than to wait 20 or 30 years? Huh? I mean, it's going to take a lot more to get that thing out of the ground if you let that thing grow. That's the way the word is. That's the way God's word is. If Satan allows you to just come to church and hear the word and doesn't protest it and doesn't do everything he can to take it out of your heart before it grows up and becomes something that you stand on and believe in, then he's going to have a tough time with you. He won't be able to control you because you have too much confidence and you're too solid on God's word. But if he can get it out when it's a seed, it's just so easy. So easy. Now, these are the ones by the wayside where the word is sown. When they hear, Satan comes immediately and gives you a high five. Huh? Satan comes immediately and just makes you a little uncomfortable. Satan comes immediately because he just doesn't like you and he wants you to have a bad day. No, let me tell you something. Satan has a very clear agenda. And Jesus is teaching us what that is. Jesus said, when you hear the word, Satan comes immediately and takes away the word that was sown in their hearts. Somebody tell me what Satan's top priority is.
Take the word out.
Get the word out of your heart. Want to know what this parable is about? This parable is about you attempting to receive the word and keep it in your heart so that it grows up, and the devil trying to get it out of your heart so that it doesn't grow up. That's what this whole thing's about. You want to know what the whole kingdom of God's about? You want to know how the whole system works? This is it right here. You want to know why some people don't get saved? This is it right here. You want to know why some people don't receive the other promises of God with regard to healing and so on? This is it right here. Every one of us. Every one of us have lost battles. Every one of us have been ripped off. Every one of us have had things that Jesus has provided for us. The Word of God has promised it. The Word is truth. You can't get around it. You can't cut it any other way than to know that God is truth. It's honest. But there is a thief, and as soon as that Word is planted in your heart, he comes right then. But you know what? If you don't know he's coming, then you're probably not paying any attention to it. And if you're not paying any attention to it, then you're getting ripped off. Isn't that what God said in Proverbs chapter 4? My son, give attention to my word. Incline your ear to my sayings. Do not let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart. Keep it there. Why? Because they're life to those who find them, and health to all their flesh. But you got to keep it in there. It's Satan's job to get it out of there. It's your job to keep it in there. Somebody said, well, you know, if it was God's will to be in there, it'd be in there. Huh? You guys are laughing because you know me. No, that's not true. It is God's will. The sower sows the word. God wouldn't be sowing the word if it wasn't his will that his word be inside of you. Right? That's true. Now, by the way, if God was the one allowing or taking the word out of your heart, then God would be the author of your damnation. Because you can't get saved without faith. And faith comes by hearing the word. Isn't that right? That's right. So if God's the one taking the word out, then God would be authoring your damnation or authoring you and writing into your life that he did not want you to receive the promises in your life. Let me tell you something very clearly in all the teaching of the Bible, it is not God doing that. God is the sower of the truth and the word and the promises, but Satan very strategically and very intentionally comes to take this away from you. Let me tell you, there are so many things that that God wants us to receive in our life. Now, when I say that, I'm not just talking about, you know, blessings and all that. I'm talking about family issues. I'm talking about ministry. Ways that we can help the body of Christ. Ways that we can help people out in the world. Things that we could be doing that could be a ministry to them. And yet we're missing out on those things because we're letting Satan steal the word. We're letting Satan steal the word. Now, that's the wayside. These are the ones by the wayside where the word is sown. When they hear, Satan comes immediately and takes away the word that was sown in their hearts. Jesus had previously told us that it was just by the wayside. The seed fell there, but it never got way down into the heart. It never got underground. It just was scattered on top. What does that mean? That meant that people heard. It just went in the ear, but it just went right back out. It never really touched them. Never really got down in their heart. See, and it was just so easy. Satan just came, took it. How much fruit did they get? None. None. Here, the good word of the Lord comes with all the power and blessings, and they got zero. They got zero. Now, we've all been at that level. Did you know that? There are areas of your life that you're at that level. You've heard things from the word and such, but you're not getting anything out of it in certain areas of your life. We're all at all these areas. Did you know that? Some people are, I mean, they're strong. They're on good ground when it comes to salvation. But boy, you get them over in finances and, oh, they just don't have no confidence in the word. They've been ripped off. The word's just been pulled right out of their heart. And when it comes to finance, they have no confidence that God's going to supply their need according to his riches and glory, even though that is the word of God. But see, in that area, they're wayside. Or maybe they're thorny ground and such. Now, let's go on. Verse 16. These likewise are the ones sown on stony ground, who when they hear the word, immediately receive it with gladness. And they have no root in themselves, and so endure only for a time. Afterward, when tribulation or persecution arises for the word's sake, immediately they stumble. Now I want you to notice something about this particular type of person and this situation. Let me tell you, the first thing you need to do is to get in a place where you're hearing the word. Where you're hearing the word. You know, everybody's different. Everybody has their preferences and such. But you know, when I'm in the car, I'm just not one to listen to a lot of music. I used to listen to a lot of music and such when I was younger. But, man, I just want to hear the word all the time. You know why? Because I just know what it'll do. I don't know about you. I like to win. I just like to win. I want to win in life. I want to win in ministry. I want to win in my marriage. I want to win with my kids. I want to win in every area. And I've realized, and I've already bought this message that Jesus taught. I bought this that if I can get this word in my heart in such abundance, it'll choke out all the other stuff and it'll cause me to reap the fruits and the benefits of it. See, I bought that. I believe it with all of my heart. And so that's why getting into the Word and listening to the Word and bringing it into my heart is not something that I have to say, well, I got to do it. Okay, I'll turn off the radio. It's not. I bought it. You know what I mean? Success in these areas, in my relationship and fellowship with God, in every area, is more important to me. And so that's why it's not any question with me. I've already bought this. I believe Jesus. Yes. See, and so that's my life. That's why I'm into this all the time. All the time. And I tell you what, the more you stick with it, the easier it gets. The easier it gets. Now, the first thing you do is you got to get to the Word and get the Word to you. That's the first thing. Just to be able to get in this parable. So you got a shot at it. The second thing is, when you receive the Word, let it go down in your heart. Don't just let it get in one ear and out the other. Some people just can't keep their mind at all on the Word. You know, they just don't pay attention. They can come to church, but they weren't at church. Their body was there, but they weren't there. Right? They weren't anywhere near there. They were at home cooking. They were at home raking. They were at work, you know, finishing up a project or whatever. Well, what is that? You're the wayside. Satan just came and took it. But Jesus said here, some receive this word down into their heart with gladness. They got a little excited about it, and they said, yeah, I got something there. Yeah, I see that. Now, you've done that before, haven't you? Mm-hmm. You've done that where somebody was teaching the word, or you were hearing it, or reading, or meditating, or something, and you got something, and you received it, and you said, that's good. Boy, yeah, I see that. I see that. See, you received it. It wasn't just a tradition thing. You got it. You received it with gladness. Now, notice this. And they have no root, verse 17, and they have no root in themselves, and so endure only for a time. Afterward, when tribulation or persecution arises for the word's sake. Somebody tell me what tribulation is. You know what tribulation is? Hard times. Have any of you had hard times? Have you ever been through some hard times where things didn't flow the way they were supposed to flow? It was just rough. Hard times. Have you ever been in some hard times? I'm talking about unusually hard times. You know, life is tough, but I'm talking about it's just a tough time. Hard times, right? And just things just out of the blue, just you thought you had things going pretty good, and just out of the blue, these kinks in the chain. Have you ever had that happen to you? Huh? Now, how about persecution? You know what persecution is? People problems. I'll bet nobody in here has had any problems with people. Huh? I'll bet everybody in here, everybody just loves you all the time, right? Just so nice to you, you know. You're trying to call on the phone, get some business taken care of, and they're just so patient with you. So kind with you all the time, right? And especially family. You know how patient family is, right? They're just so patient with you. Just to, you know, if you do something wrong, they'll say, don't worry about it. Right? Huh? Persecution, people problems. Hard times and people problems. Now, I want you to notice what Jesus thinks about those two. I want you to notice what Jesus thinks about these two. Now, notice. It says, they have no root, verse 17, they have no root in themselves and so endure only for a time. Afterward, when tribulation, hard times, or persecution, people problems, arises for the word's sake, for the word's sake. Why do hard times and people problems just come up out of the blue? For the word's sake. Huh? That interesting? You want to know why they come? Because Satan couldn't take it away from you because you received it. You pulled it down into your heart and received it. And so he couldn't just snatch it away like he did the people on the wayside. So he had to approach you a different way. You pulled it down into your heart and he said, I can't get it down there. So you know what he does? He brings a few people problems against you. Has your spouse say something that they know they just push some of your buttons, you know? You know, there's some people that just know where your buttons are. And they mash them. They push them, right? Or you go through some hard times. This unexpected bill came in or something just slaps you just sideswipe you. Well, why does that come? For the word's sake. You know what we do? We just flat get all bent out of shape. Just get upset. Retaliate. React. Here we go. And what happens? Satan says, thank you very much. I'll take that word. Thank you very much. And you don't even know it. And he's thinking, these guys are dumb. Yeah. He's using the same strategy over and over and over and over and over again. And here all this time, 2,000 years, Jesus has been teaching this. Did you know Jesus teaches this every day? Open your Bible. It's there every day. Every day he'll teach this to you. He said, let me show you how the system works. Let me show you what happens. If you receive it down into your heart, then Satan will bring hard times and people problems to get you all bent out of shape, and then you won't be able to receive. How many of you remember, we're here in the book of Mark. If you flip over to the 6th chapter, we won't take time to do it, but if you flip over there, you'll find out that Jesus went to Nazareth, and that was his hometown, and they got offended at him, and they couldn't receive the healing power that he gave to all the other cities. Why? Because they got offended. And that's what we do. Little people problems, little hard times, we get all bent out of shape, all offended. What we don't realize is he's playing us as fools. And he takes the word right out, and you don't even go back to check. You forgot all about it. You just start going through a hard, here we go, oh man, see, every time, and here you go, right? Every time we seem to get things right, something always comes up. Murphy's Law, man, you know, it always happens to me. Here you go, and you know what you do? Instead of speaking God's word and doing what God told Joshua, this book of the law shall not depart from you, you start just talking just exactly what the devil wants you to talk. It always happens to me. Yeah, see, every time. Isn't that always the way? That's just always the way. Here you go, right? See, you're no more talking God's word anymore. He's just got you way off of the word now. You're not talking the promises anymore. You're not in line with the word. You're not speaking the truth anymore. No, you're talking exactly what he wants you to talk, that you're going to fail. It's always going to happen to you. You're going to lose. It's just every single time. You know what? You speak into existence your own defeat. You say, it always happens to me. Every time I get to a place, it seems like it always happens. You know what you're doing? Your words are giving him the right to do exactly what he wants to do. Instead of taking the word, taking the truth, and saying, nope, in the name of Jesus, I'm more than a conqueror. No, you can't defeat me. Mm-hmm. He always leads me in triumph. This is the victory that overcomes the world. I'm saying to the mountain, be removed. You know what most of us do? Oh, look at that. See, I knew it. That mountain was going to fall on me. See, I knew it. It always does. That's not what Jesus told us to say. But see, we lost the word, didn't we? Now you're arguing. You hear people arguing with one another, getting bent out of shape, in strife. Well, we've made a decision. We're not going to walk in strife. No, we're not going to get bent out of shape. Somebody else get bent out of shape. We're not going to get bent out of shape. Let them get in strife. You know what? I'm not going to let the word be stolen out of my heart. I need this. Amen. You want to get bent out of shape? Get bent out of shape. But you're the one that's going to get ripped off. Amen. I'm not going to get bent out of shape. Why? This is too important. True. This is too important. See? All right. Let's see. We got time for just a little bit more. Is it okay if we just go a little bit more here? All right. Let's see. They have no root in themselves, so endure only for a time. Afterward, when tribulation or persecution arises for the word's sake, immediately they stumble. They didn't last very long at all, did they? Somebody got in their face and said, you are a sorry, no good. And you say, well, what about you? You know, here you go, right? I mean, how long did that take? Oh, just about a half a second. There you are. You're gone. You're gone. And Satan is just laughing at you, saying, you fool, if you knew what was in your heart and were able to hang on to it. But you don't. You don't realize how powerful these words are. And so he just comes in, takes it away, and you don't even know it. Verse 18. Now, these are the ones sown among thorns. They are the ones who hear the word, and the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, and the desires for other things, entering in, choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. Now notice all these things are after the word, aren't they? They're all after one thing, and it's the word. Why is that? It's the key. It's the key to your success. It's the key to your success in every endeavor of your life. God's word. Now I want you to notice something here. First of all, we see that Satan kept some people from hearing the word at all. They're not even in the parable, right? If he can keep you from hearing it, you're not even in there. Secondly, the people that did hear, he got them to not pay attention to it so that it just kind of fell into their ears, but it didn't really get down into their heart. And those were easy. He came and just took that away really fast. Right? But those who received it in their heart, he couldn't get it out of their heart because they received it. So what he did is he stirred up some people problems and he stirred up some hard times, like maybe a few financial difficulties, or the car breaks down. And there you go. You're off. You forgot all about what God was saying to you. Right? So he got you. But if you were somebody who was paying attention, and when something went wrong, you'd say, well, bless God, it's all right. Don't worry about it. It's okay. Thank God. It's going to be all right. We'll get the car fixed. God will give us the money to get the car fixed. See, he can't get you off of the word. See, when you get so full of God's word and you learn to hold on to it, when somebody pushes on you, the word comes out. Mm-hmm. See, whatever you're full of, it's going to come out. Do you know that? You know that, right? Whatever you're full of, it's going to come out. You mash, put somebody on a little bit of pressure, you'll find out what's in their heart. Mm-hmm. If the word comes out, the word's in their heart, right? Well, if he can't do that, if he brings some pressure and some persecution, some people get in your face or do something that just is just wrong, it's not fair, and they did it to you, and you just say, well, you know what? I'm not going to worry about it. Thank God. God is on my team. God is looking out for me. And the word says, and the word says, and the word says, see, he can't get to you. So he has to take a different approach with you. Because these external problems are not working. So you know what he does? He goes internal. Notice this. Now, going internal takes him a lot more time. But it is a more sure strategy if he can get it done. Notice verse 18. Now these are the ones sown among thorns. They are the ones who hear the word, and the cares, that word care is worry, the worries of this world. Anybody ever worried? The deceitfulness of riches. Now notice it's not riches, but it's the deceitfulness of riches. Thinking that money is your solution is a deceitful thing. Money is not the answer to your problem. Mm-mm. It's not. The deceitful money won't make you happy. See, those are deceitful things. Mm-hmm. The deceitfulness of riches and the desires for other things. What other things? Other than God's word. Other than the things God wants you to have. The desires for other things. Now notice this. Entering what?
In.
Choke the word. Entering into what? Entering into your heart. How did they get into your heart? You heard. Same way the word gets into your heart. It comes in through your ears. It can come in through your eyes. But you let it. You allowed your eye gate, or primarily this parable is talking about your ear gate. You allowed these things to come into your ears and plant themselves into your heart, and you gave them time to grow up to the point that they choke the word. They choke the word. Now, how do things get into your ears? Now, nobody in here, I know, would allow any worry to get into their ears, right? No, I mean, we wouldn't in here, would we? Well, one way worry gets into your ears is out of your own mouth. Just chokes it off. Worry. Worry will choke the word so fast. Worry is the opposite of faith. Isn't that right? Worry is believing that something that you can't see is going to come to pass. Psychologists will tell you that over 80% of the things we worry about never, ever come to pass. Jesus said that worry is a design of Satan to choke the word in your heart. Mm-hmm. Worry. Oh, my goodness. You feel a little pain. How many of you know you feel a little pain there? What does the devil want to tell you? He'll get you thinking it feels just like it. You don't know how it feels. That feels just like cancer. Well, how do you know it feels like cancer? But how many of you know, isn't that true? Your mind will start going. Little pain here or something, you know. It's gas most of the time. But isn't that true that here the devil gets you going? Now, let me ask you something. When that worry comes, that fear comes, what comes out of your mouth? Is it the word? Is it, no, thank God, by His stripes I am healed? Or is it, I'm feeling a little funny or something. I may need to go get checked here. You know, you just start talking. It just, something's coming out of your mouth. And you know what it is? It's whatever has been put in there in abundance. If you're around people that just talk all the time about natural things and about, oh, you know, that runs in our family. And these are serious issues. These are not games either. You know, we laugh about it because it's true. But these are not games. These are life and death situations here. These words are going constantly. God's word is right here constantly. But let me tell you something. The majority of words that are floating around the atmosphere going in and out of our ears are not God's word. You know what Psalm says, Psalm 1? Blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the ungodly. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law, he meditates day and night. And he'll be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth. See, that's what Jesus is talking about right here. He's talking about what you allow to come into your heart. Do you allow worry in there? You allow desires for other things, all these other things. I see people, you know, Christians. Jesus is their Lord. But you know, when you get around them, all they talk about is boats. And that's all right to like boats. But you know, how many of you know what I'm saying? Outside of church, they never talk about God's Word. They never talk about Jesus and healing and deliverance and the power of God and the anointing. None of that ever comes out. They've got a whole lifestyle full of words and thoughts and ideas that are not God's Word. And yet, God has told us very specifically, you stay in the Word. You keep the Word in your mouth. You keep the Word in your eyes. Keep it in your ears. Keep it in your heart. But yet, we've made it a Christian lifestyle that you come to church, you take care of all that stuff, and you go back home, and you live a normal life. And you just talk like everybody else talks. And Jesus says, you know what? That's why you're getting ripped off. How many of you believe Jesus can teach? He can he? He knows what he's talking about. I tell you what, he's got this sword out tonight, and we're all ducking a little bit, you know. Woo! Jesus is swinging it tonight, right? It's true, isn't it? See, and then you know what we want to do? We want to get ripped off in some of these areas and then say, well, you know what? I don't know why the Lord wanted that to happen. I guess, you know, he didn't want me to receive that promise. And every day Jesus is saying, the sower sows the word, and Satan comes immediately to take away the word that was sown. And we're just oblivious to this whole process. Now, can you see why Jesus said, do you not understand this parable? Well, then how are you going to understand all the other ones? This is the explanation of the process of life. If you don't understand this process, then you won't be able to receive and bear fruit in the kingdom of God. This is how to bear fruit in God's kingdom. Well, we'll have to pick it up here next week. I let my time slip away. Let's all stand together. Father, we thank you for your word. Let's all do that. Let's all do it together. Just close your eyes. Thank God. Go ahead and receive the word tonight into your heart. Receive it into your heart. Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you, Jesus, for teaching us these things. We thank you for not leaving us to bumble around in the spirit realm, not understanding how these things work. But we thank you for taking time and teaching specifics on how to receive your word and bear fruit in your kingdom. Oh, we pray that you'd open our eyes to these things so that we can be the good ground that bears 30, 60, and even 100-fold from all of your word that comes into our ears. We want your will in our life completely, in every area, in our families, in our marriages, in our finances, in our bodies, in our ministries, in our church. We want your fullness and full fruit in all of those areas. And so we're asking you to continue to teach us and open our eyes to be able to see, open our ears to be able to hear, and to be able to put into action the correct responses to your word. In Jesus' name. Now, Father, I thank you for this wonderful group here tonight. I pray that you'd bless them. Remind them of your words all the rest of this week. Bring them back on Sunday. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Give somebody a hug and have a great night.